Good morning. Glad to see you here in church for the first time in many, many weeks. Glad you came out. It'll be a little different church service. It'll be shortened, but it'll be a start for something new with this congregation. Again, I'm so glad to see your faces. And this is my last Sunday here, but there'll be a time in the future that Pastor Carolyn has given her permission, and so has Fred Vanderwerf, our district superintendent, that Patrice and I'll come back for a formal farewell. I look forward to greeting you more fully at that time. Let's pray. Oh God, your never-failing providence sets in order all things, both in heaven and earth. Put away from us, we entreat you, all hurtful things, and give us those things which are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. We all have 24/7, 7 days a week. No matter how much money you have or power you have, you only have 24 hours in every day. And 7 days in every week. So it's important for us to learn about time and how to use it. Probably the most famous passage in Scripture was made into a popular song in the 60s called Turn, Turn, Turn. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And here's how it reads. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. May God add his blessing to the reading of this scripture. So what is this thing that's called time? What is the nature of it? We have been a stranger in a strange time, it seems like, the last 9 weeks, since the coming of the COVID-19 plague. Our lives, our economy, our relationships, our plans have all been radically changed. Even worship has been canceled, and the way we worship going forward will be very different. So many of us have had more time on our hands or have been anxious about time. Now, we have a lot of expressions when it comes to time. We have too little time. Time has run out. Especially when you were taking a quiz in high school, that time has run out there. Time's up. Or we're killing time because we're bored. Time for a change. Or the time yesterday, the day before yesterday, the day after tomorrow, or the phrase, the middle of next week. We measure time. Nanoseconds. Seconds. Minutes. Hours. Days. Weeks. Months. Years. Decades. Centuries. Millennia. Again, as I said before, we all have the same amount of time to use in each day, 24 hours. But we have a different perception of time. It seems like the older we get, time seems to pass faster than when we were younger. When we're younger, time passes much too slow. Now, there is an explanation for this. Our brains are like cameras, and when we are young, we remember more of the frames or moments of our life. It's like we take a lot more pictures and remember them, and so time seems to pass more slowly. As we get older, we forget some of the moments some of the frames, and as a result of that, events or time get skipped ahead, so we speak as though time were passing more quickly. But what really is time, and how is it defined? Time is a divine invention. Time is a gift from God. God does not need to measure time in hours or minutes, but God is outside of time and not confined by it. 2 Peter 3:8 says this, "Beloved, do not let this one thing escape your notice. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day." God can accomplish through his might in one day what would take us 1,000 years. And God is an uncreated being who exists outside of time, can take the time to hear every single prayer, the billions of them that are prayed every day, as if one day was 1,000 years. Time is a gift from God, so created beings can measure their days and make the best of the limited amount of time they have. Time is a precious gift. Even if you're having a long day, a bad day, a sad day, a bright and sunny day, or a dull and dreary rainy day, time is that gift. It begins with our birth and ends with our death. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. We often get inconvenienced. We said, "Oh, this is not the right time for that. I don't have time for this. I can't believe this is happening." We're driving along a car, we get a flat tire, we're already late to where we're going, we ran out of gas. And sometimes we get embarrassed by our poor management of time. You see, Scripture says a time for everything. Nothing happens by accident, or due to some mysterious hand of fate, or just plain dumb luck or bad luck. But all falls within the purview of God's great plan. In the ancient Near East, time generally proceeded as a succession of events from one event to the other in a linear fashion. Every event had a reason and a purpose that we always seek to discover. God appoints the times and seasons of our lives. God presents us each day with divine moments through which our lives are shaped by the choices we make. You see, we might not always like every day we live, but every day and every moment of that day is a great opportunity. William Wrigley, the founder of Wrigley Gum, ran away from home at the age of 11 to escape working in the family's soap manufacturing business. He went to New York where he sold newspapers, but soon he was back home. In 1891, he left for good, going to Chicago to make his fortune. In the beginning, Wrigley continued to sell soap, offering a free can of baking product as incentive to his buyers. Soap sales weren't strong, but people loved the baking product. So he started selling it exclusively while now offering 2 pieces of gum as an incentive. He soon discovered that the gum was even more popular than the baking powder. So Wrigley went into the gum business. Similarly, the name Levi Strauss is synonymous with blue jeans in American culture. But the man by that name wasn't thinking about jeans when he went to California in the hope of making his fortune during the gold strike of the 1840s and 1850s. He did make a fortune, but not the way he planned. He set out with a load of heavy canvas fabric on which he planned to sell sections for tents and wagon covers. Upon arrival, the first miner who saw the product said, "You should have brought pants." The second miner further explained how there weren't any pants strong enough to endure the tough conditions of mining. Levi Strauss immediately made the miner a pair of work pants and thus struck gold. These two men found the time presented with opportunities they did not anticipate and challenges they did not anticipate. And as they turned these challenges into new opportunities, they found that life was very profitable even though it did not work out the way they planned. That time does not ever repeat itself. The opportunities God presents are once in a lifetime. In the first part of the trilogy called Lord of the Rings, the book is The Fellowship of the Ring. The main character, Frodo Baggins, a halfling or hobbit, has been given the task of the one taking the One Ring of Power into the heart of the Dark Lord Sauron's kingdom, Mordor, and destroying it in the fires of Mount Doom. Frodo has already been through many trials, and the closer he comes to Sauron's kingdom, Mordor, the harder his job becomes. He says to his friend and mentor Gandalf one day, "I wish this had never happened. I wish I could go home." Gandalf looks at him kindly and says, "You have no control over the time that has passed. You can only make choices for the time you're in now." We often feel that way. If I could go back and do something differently. If I could go back and make different choices. But time does not allow us to go back. We can only go forward. Events may be similar in our life, but they're never the same. Unlike the movie Groundhog Day, where the events of the day occur over and over again, time is not circular but linear. We're not fated to repeat our mistakes over and over again until we get them right, nor to die and come back as some incarnate reincarnation until we get our life right. We move on. The past does not dictate the future. God is always moving forward to something new. We're not doomed to stay stuck in the past, and we can't go back and relive the good old days. God, the one prayer, God does not answer his encore. Why should the infinite repeat itself? When I read this line written by C.S. Lewis, I had to stop and think. How often I wish God would do something like that. Some great moment in my life. Some great opportunity that I might have missed, that I could just have that time back. But why would God do an encore when he has more things in the future to give to us and reveal to us? Now, we have this complaint that life is the same old, same old. We've all felt that, and most of us have used the phrase from time to time. Yet life is not static, but dynamic. The events, people, and circumstances of our lives are always changing, and so are we. Even when it seems like we're doing the same things over and over again. We're not hamsters on a cosmic wheel. It just spins around, never going anywhere. The events of our lives are not random happenings, but each event can serve a divine purpose. We've all prayed to being bored when life does not go as we think it should. And we become frustrated when our lives and see everything around us as being an obstacle instead of an opportunity. If I just didn't have this job, or if I just didn't have this house, if I just had a different car, or just had a different spouse, if I just had a different, we name it. And we think if things were just different, our lives would change. But things aren't different. They are the way they are, and we have responsibility of making the best of it. We'll tell a story about Elliot. When he was 9 or 10, I was busy in the kitchen doing something, and he came to me with the usual childhood complaint. "Dad, I'm bored." I told him, "Son, you're not bored. You are bored. Go and find something to do that does not involve video games." Now, I'd heard that phrase from a commentator that I respected, and he had tried it out on his son, and it worked, so I thought, I'd try it out on my son. A few months later, he came back with the same lament. "Dad, I'm bored." I repeated my advice. "You are not bored, son. You are boring. Go find something interesting to do that does not involve video games or screen time. The third time, he came and lamented the same thing. I repeated my advice. Then he was gone for about 15 minutes. It was quiet. I wondered, what was he doing? He then came and announced to me he'd created a comic strip called Kids Comics. And he said, can I make a booth and sell it outside on the sidewalk? I said, sure. He made $4 that day. Oftentimes, we can turn something that seemed so boring into an opportunity. Because God has given us a creative mind. And we need to see that time is a gift, always a gift, if it's full of creative opportunities. Even if it's a hard time, it's a thing we don't go through. We just got through packing and moving. We did not like one of those days of moving for the sake of moving. But we liked our goal of getting things accomplished so we could move into our new home. Too often we speak of wasting or killing time as if we just have too much on our hands and we need to get rid of it. What we need to do is pray that God will help us be more creative with the time that we have. Because we don't know how much time we have. Time to the Hebrew mind was an opportunity or season. It could be short as an hour or a day, or extended periods such as days, weeks, or years. But all time, every moment, every hour, every day, was seen as a divine gift that is not to be wasted, but filled or occupied with meaningful activity. You can only make choices for the time you're in now. Our lives are marked by seasons, just like crops are marked by seasons, and the year is marked by seasons. And these seasons are divinely sent. The first is called the planting. This is a season we do something new. We head in a new direction, begin the process of change. We take new initiatives and new risks. There is an energy in our lives. We are willing to take risks and release resources. But it takes time. And the planting is a waiting period. Because then comes the growing. This season demands patience. The intense activity of planting is over, and now we wait for our efforts to take root and begin to sprout. That's a hard time. Because we've done all the work. Now we have to wait for the results. Then comes pruning, which is a difficult time. It's a time of challenge where the old ways of doing things no longer work. They must be discarded. Our lives are cleared of habits and attitudes that make us sterile and unproductive. It can be a painful time. We have to give up things. We have to do things differently. And we have to do hard things. The last is harvesting. It's a joyous time. The wait is over. All our work and sacrifice becomes evident, and we begin to celebrate. So the question, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is what time are you in? Are you in a planting time where God's going to do something new in your life? Where you're heading in a new direction? You're in the process of change? You're going to take new initiatives, new risks? Is there energy for this? Are we willing to take risks and release resources? As you transition with a new pastor, is it a planting time? Lots of things are going to happen with Carol and Fox. Then there'll be a growing time for you. A time when patience is demanded. Whenever you have to sit back. And maybe that time is in your life now. Well, you've done a lot of work and energy, but you have to sit back and wait. Or maybe you're in a pruning time where God's taking things out of your life and you're having to give up and let go of things. And it's a hurtful time, but it's going to make you more productive in the future. Or maybe you're in harvest. Your wait's over and good things are happening that you have planned for and planted for and waited for. And even suffered for. Celebrate. Celebrate those times. Remember, you can only make choices in the time you're in now. May God give you and me the grace to choose wisely. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the source of all wisdom. You're the one who orders my steps. Give me the wisdom to choose wisely how to use the time you have given me and to celebrate every day as a gift from you. Amen.